Your Bible in the book of Nehemiah, so that you have that book ready when it comes. In the meantime, we look into the introduction. Tonight, we look into the book of Nehemiah, and the Parsi people will call Nehemiah, all right, because the H is a sound with another H. The book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And we are looking in the evening service for Jesus, a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament, on the character and on the function of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we come to the evening study, and we are looking for Jesus in every book of the Bible. We have come to the book of Nehemiah, and we pray that as we look for Jesus in Nehemiah, you help us to understand the work of Nehemiah, the historical aspect of Nehemiah, but also you help us to understand the work of Christ spiritually in our life. Bless us, O God. Help us to draw a very practical and solid conclusion that our Christ in thee has the character of God and have function in the Old Testament, and the heathen works of the historical aspect of the Jewish people, so that they may have a reflection of the greater work that Jesus will do when he came to the world. Thank you, Lord, that we see it, we believe it, and we praise your name for giving us these jewels. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the study tonight is on Nehemiah, and we're going to call Jesus and Nehemiah the builder of the wall. You can take any other typology sentence in the book, but the builder, what I have done is taking the main thought of every Old Testament book. And so you can have a lot of little details inside, but you can get the main thought of the book and then reflect upon Christ. Now, as the introduction comes, you know the serious progression. We saw Jesus in Genesis through the women. We saw in Exodus Jesus through the wonderful escape and the Passover. In Leviticus, we saw the great and mighty priesthood. In Numbers, we saw that serpent. On Deuteronomy, we saw the great prophet of God. On Joshua, the great captain of our soul. On Judges, the great lawgiver. On Ruth, the redeemer of our soul. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, we saw the intercessor. In 1st, 2nd Kings, 3rd, and our most, I have my Hebrew Bible, 3rd and 4th Kings, and you have a 1st and 2nd Chronicles. That's not in Hebrew, that's only in the Catholic Bible. So 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we saw Jesus, the one who walked through history, and Ezra, the great scribe of Israel. Now we come to the topic discussion, and the topic discussion is simply this: the book of Nehemiah and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the sign says on my left, the book of Nehemiah and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is a general information they always repeat. We go to the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, and in chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke, we saw the Lord Jesus in verse 27 speaking to some people who were very discouraged because Jesus died at the cross of Calvary. There were two people walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And in verse 27 of the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. The scriptures talks about Jesus. Then in verse 44 of the same chapter, Jesus meet the disciples. This is another group of people. He met two disciples, then he leave the two disciples, and then he meet with all the disciples. And in verse 44, he really explain what he really is where you can find Jesus. Verse 44 said, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you," he says. And then he said, "that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses," that's the first five books of the Bible, "and in the prophets." Now we study at the 4 o'clock the Bible today, and we today study illumination, what it is, 14 pages on illumination, one page dedicated to the word prophecy. Prophecy doesn't mean foretelling the future. It's telling about God. And God called the Bible a prophecy. And so that word prophets involve all the other scripture and in the Psalms concerning me. And so Jesus said to the disciples, "Come on, guys, you don't understand that the Messiah need to die in order to save you. Have you ever read Isaiah 53 and explained that?" Then I'd like you to go from Luke 24 to John chapter 5 and verse 39. And remember, Jesus is talking to doctors of the law, Pharisees, the crown of the church at that time. And there were scribes and doctors who knew the law of Moses to the T. And he said these words to them in verse 39 of the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they is the scripture, which testify of me." So all the scriptures testify of Jesus' character, and what he really is. And the crown verse is Hebrews chapter 10. If you go to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10 and in verse 7, you find what is a jewel verse, because that verse tells you where you can find really Jesus. "Then said I, lo, I come." And look at the King James said, "In the volume of the book it is written of me." We learned this afternoon the word grapha. It is written. Every letter, every dot is the word of God. And in the whole volume of that Bible of yours, it is written of me. So that's the general information. That's what we are searching for Jesus in the Old Testament. Now we go to the specific information, and we need to turn to the book of Nehemiah. And my Bible is page 820. I don't know in that Bible in the pew, but you find Esther is one book before Esther, and I like to start in Nehemiah chapter 1. All right, first we're going to have a specific information about the gospel here in about the book of Nehemiah, and now the historical information, all right? Number one, the historical information. Let's talk about chapter 1. In chapter 1, Nehemiah is informed about something. Look at here. The words of Nehemiah, I'm reading Nehemiah chapter 1, in verse 1, "the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20 years, as I was in Shushan the palace." Shushan means the palace of the horses. You know, Shusha, horse. "And then the Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and certain men of Judah." Now remember, Nehemiah grew up in the captivity after 70 years. This is the year 70 of the captivity as he was in Assyria. "And one of the men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jew that had escaped." So somebody told him about the past, "which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem." So somebody told him, "You are here in Assyria, but there was a glorious day in Jerusalem," and so on. And now he asks what it is. Verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down." Now, this is not the wall of the temple. This is the wall of the city. the wall is broken down. And that word wall, you can trace it through the book of Nehemiah, is went into the head of Nehemiah, in between the eyes of Nehemiah, the wall. Now, for the Old Testament people, the wall was the protection of the city. And they said, the walls are broken down. God's people are without protection. And you see in verse 4, the attitude of a believer. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down, I wept, I mourned certain days, and fast. And what he does? And pray before God. So Nehemiah was informed that the walls, the protection of God's people, the thing that protects God's people from the enemy, are broken down. And so he prayed. Now, in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, Nehemiah finds grace in chapter 2. And I want to read it for you. Nehemiah, as you know, if you know this story, Nehemiah was the FBI of King Artaxerxes. He drank the wine before the king drank the wine. So if he died, the king don't have to drink the wine. And he was the one who was close to the king. He walked with the king. He slept with the king. He was all the time there. And the king was watching him, see, because remember how the East worked. They don't work by missiles and things. They work by bomb people, all right? Today, the people put a bomb in their body, and they go and blow up. Over there, the people will go and give a poison to somebody, and they die. That's how the East may war, one-to-one. And so the king is watching him. And in chapter 2, we read, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, that's 4 months after, that's in April, 4 months after he got the news, Artaxerxes the king, the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had no been before time sad in his presence. He was a very happy fellow, a very peppy fellow, a very positive mind, like a believer, you know. Things happen to you, but you carry on with great comfort. And then he give you that information for understanding the verses that follow. Look in verse 2. Wherefore, the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. The king watched to him, and he said, you know, fellow, something is cooking. You never have been like this before. What's up? See? So he was very afraid. And when you are very afraid, it's the best of you because you tell the truth. And here's verse 3. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Again, walls and gates go together. The gates are burned with fire. And so he told the truth. He said, you know, the holy city, the city of the glory of Israel is gone. And the testimony of God is destroyed. And here's an unbeliever king. He take a look to him. And in verse 4 said, the king said unto me, for what dost thou may request? And Nehemiah, may I help you? When you go to a store here, we laugh so many times with Raquel because they are key. You know, you go to a store in Chile or in South America, the people have different way to talk to you. We saw the kindness of the American people. You go to a store in South America and the person will say, what do you want? Why are you here? You know, it looks like it's throwing you out of the way. You come here and the lady smiles. My brother, I said to my brother, we're going to the store and you come with me. When he came in 68 or something like that. And I said, my brother's going to have, so what are we going to buy? He said, oh, whatever. So I went with my brother looking, and the lady is smiling, you know. I said, well, hi, how are you? He said, can I help you? My brother said, hey, she's with you. What's she want? I said, no. She's saying to me, she can help us. But look, she's smiling to a man. You know, and that's a sign of, you know, you want a relationship with a man. Women do not smile to a man in South America, otherwise he can rapture. And my brother said, what did she want? Raquel knows this. No, nothing to do with this. She's saying, can I help you? Wow, they are so kind, he said. They are so kind. I said, well, you know, they want your money. So if they can sell you the whole store, they will be happy. She said, I can't believe it. She said, remember back in home? Yeah. They said, what do you want? What are you here? You know, and it's a different story. And so here it is. The king said to can you imagine a king, a foreign king? His nation took over Jerusalem 70 years later. 70 years earlier, the nation of Assyria, through Nebuchadnezzar, took over Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem. And now he's telling to a king, four kings went by, and he's telling to this king that he is sad because the nation that they destroy is on the floor. And the king said, may I help you? And verse 5 said, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor, that word favor is grace, in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, and unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. So I want to be a man who I want to be used to rebuild the walls. This is not the temple. Again, Ezra is for the temple. Can I rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the protection of the empire? And verse 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given unto me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. He's talking about Syria. Can I need to cross Syria? And he said, can I send letters so I can cross with my people over Syria? And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king forest, that's Lebanon, that he may give me timber to make the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into it. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and so on. So now you see that he found what we learn in the King James said favor. He found grace. Nehemiah find grace. And when you find grace upon God, I said, when God opened the door, even the hinges blow away. And I saw it in my life, and you can recall in your life. You know when it's of God. And that's how we should move. Each move that we make, we can sometimes can make it right away because we're in anger or we see the problem, but you cool off and calm and let God open the door. And when God opened the door, I tell you, it is fantastic because the door is wide open and all your needs are supply. Now, Nehemiah has one thing in mind. I'm going to build that wall. Go to chapter 6 and verse 15. Chapter 6 of the book of Nehemiah and verse 15. Nehemiah completed the work. Chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished. And the 20 and fifth day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. Woo! Look in your Bible and your home the map. 52 days with no mortar mix automatic, with the enemy coming to you, and again in the east, they don't fight like President Bush fight. With canyons and missiles, they fight with a knife in the back. They walk with you. They say, "Hi!" Boom! They put the knife. You die. He dies. So what? That's the way they fight. And they have Sambalat and Tobiah, the Arabians, said the Bible, and all the Saudi Arabians. Now they want the city. The same problem we have today. Same thing. They want the city. And this man said, "I will not give you the city." But the city was completed chapter 6 and verse 15 and 52 days. The work was completed. So now let me give you, before I go into the information that bring Jesus, let me give you the idea. The walls of the protection of the kingdom of God were down. The gates to the house of God's people were down. And God picked up a man by the name Nehemiah, put his grace upon him, and sent him out. And in 52 days, he completed the task. Now, let's look a little bit at the personal information. And now we're going to compare Old Testament with the New Testament. In chapter 2 and in verse 19, I want to compare something personal so that we can get to Jesus. In chapter 2 and in verse 19, we read, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite," and you know, is with the Jordanian king is today, Jordan, the Ammonite, and Gesem, the Arabian, that Saudi Arabia, heard it, they laughed us to a scorn and despised us and said, "What is the thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king?" In other words, the enemy, when the enemy of God's kingdom see the man of God rebuilding the kingdom of God, the enemy will scorn you to death. And what do you think you are doing? Let's go to John Gospel in chapter 8 and in verse 13. When Jesus came to rebuild the walls of the kingdom of heaven, the same thing happened to him. John Gospel chapter 8 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible said. "The Pharisees therefore said unto him," unto Jesus, "Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." You see that? Thy record is not true. That's a lie. All right? Now go back to Nehemiah 8 and in verse chapter 2, excuse me, Nehemiah 2, 19, and what these people said is a lie. "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king?'" That's a lie, because we read in chapter 2 at the beginning that the king gave Nehemiah permission to go and rebuild the wall. And enemy will lie about it. And when Jesus came and tell that he's from the Father, the enemy said, "Oh, you're a liar." The same story. And if you are in Nehemiah 2, look in verse 20, the answer. Nehemiah 2:19, the enemy lie. And in verse 20, they answer, "I them and said unto them, 'The God of heaven will prosper us.'" You see that? Nehemiah said, now, people, it's not a business of mankind to rebuild the world. The God of heaven will prosper us. And if you go to Mark Gospel chapter 11 and verse 20, when Jesus was really dealing with the disciples, and the disciples were surprised that Jesus was doing the miracles that he was doing. Mark Gospel chapter 11, verse 22, please. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God." The same thing that Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, "God will prosper us." And when the disciples said, "How can this business be? Jesus, whatever you said comes to an end." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God. It is God who is doing the work." Now we go back to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we read verses 3 and verse 4. We can get another idea of the personal information that we have in the Bible about Nehemiah. The Bible said in Nehemiah 4, verse 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, said Nehemiah, for we are despised, and turned their reproach upon their own head, and gave them for a prey in the land of captivity. Now we know that Nehemiah was reproached in verse 3, and we know that he was mocked, and we know that the enemy tried to destroy him by talking. And what Nehemiah did, verse 4, he prayed. He prayed. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He prayed, remember, in chapter 1 when he heard the news and when the work was on and when in the middle of the battle, when he was scorned and he was the people were defiant to his word, he prayed. And believe me, I pray here at 6 o'clock in the morning every day when I come to the gym because the enemy is big. The enemy is big. My brother, the enemy is big. The people trying to discourage you mentally. You don't know the discouragement, the people trying to play of my psychology. Thank God that my mind is fixed. I tell you, as you know, I'm no longer the dean of Family Radio School of the Bible. Twice I hear it was replaced by somebody else. And doesn't affect me. But then because doesn't affect me, the enemy comes and said, you have choose a little tiny insignificant church rather than choose the world in my hands. This has been told eye to eye. And I tell you, that's the word of Satan to Jesus. Why don't you jump from the top that I give you my wall? Remember? Matthew chapter 4 say that. And so I'm glad I was at my feet. But everybody that I talked said to me, how can you choose a tiny little insignificant church, the church of God, tiny little insignificant church, and run the radio ministry? I said, well, I've been 29 years traveling everywhere, knowing everywhere, and God only found the church, you know, a radio ministry. And so a radio ministry can go bananas, but not the church, because the church has people, elders, and things that they counsel together. And the Bible said, in the counsel of many, there is wisdom. And so therefore, I feel safe in the church of God. But they work in you. They work in you. How can you leave the glory of a powerful ministry to a tiny little insignificant thing? Don't call it insignificant what God say. I tell you, don't do that. I don't want to be in there. But you see, that's no new. I'm glad that my Master in Divinity thesis was on Nehemiah. I learned this guy. And when he was in the temple, he said, why are you here in the temple? Get out of the temple and come here in chapter 6. And Nehemiah said, I will not deal with anybody. So that's what I said. I deal with nobody. I know what I want. I know what I believe. And I stand in my truth. And thank God that I got calls from the East Coast and from other countries thanking me for standing in the truth. I got a pastor from Norway telling me on the phone, I take my hat on you. I don't know you, but somebody told me what you have done. I take my hat in respect to your stand. They don't care if a church is 100 or the church is 10,000. They care that you stand in the truth. And here is what Nehemiah did. He stood in the truth. And look at what Jesus, look at Matthew and Jesus. Matthew 26, please. You go to Matthew 26 and in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and what? And pray yonder. See, Nehemiah heard this corner, and maybe it was too heavy for Nehemiah in Nehemiah 4:3. So verse 4 said, hear our God, for we are despised. And he cried to God. And Jesus, seeing the terrible situation, he went and prayed. And look at in verse 42, same chapter 26. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And so Jesus was a man of prayer. And the only way you can compare Nehemiah with Jesus is that Nehemiah was under stress. Jesus was under stress. Nehemiah prayed. Jesus prayed. So I do the same. And you pray to get a strength for your life. But it's a great message in Nehemiah. A tremendous message in Nehemiah. If you go to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and verse 16, you get the message of the book of Nehemiah. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass, verse 16, that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw the things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was brought of our God. You see that? When you stand, finally the enemy has to bow themselves to the notion that Nehemiah in thee was not a crook. He was a man of God. Go with me to Matthew 19, please, and look with me in Matthew 19 and in verse 30. Matthew 19, you know, this is, excuse me, John. John 19 and verse 30. Thank you for the screen, all right? John 19 and verse 30. This is the moment of the victory. This is the moment of the cross when the enemy thought that the work of the enemy was done. Rather, was the work of God. Look at verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, what? It is finished. Nehemiah, in 52 days, finished the work. And when Jesus went to the cross, he finished the work. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Wall completed, enemy confounded. I tell you, when Jesus, remember, the storm that came in, the soldier said, truly, this was the Son of God. That's the scripture of Matthew that came to my mind. Truly, this man was the Son of God. And I tell you, nobody can move you when you know the will of God. Nobody can move you. And when you know, as I told the young people in the class, and when you know the Bible and what the Bible says, doesn't matter what people said, nobody can move you. At the beginning looks defeat and doesn't look glorious, but be sure that the work that God has given you is finished. I have said to the radio board of directors, my work in the radio is finished. So what can we do to keep you here? Nothing. It's finished. It's finished. Cross the line, I said 2 weeks ago, and you are finished. Not me. You are finished. He crossed the line. He said, all right, it's finished. The work is finished. 29 years of work is finished to the glory of God. And listen, the work of the church never will be finished until Jesus comes. We read it this morning, until Jesus comes. And so we have a job to do. And the job that we have to do is to protect those walls like Nehemiah. He protects the wall. You will see in the next book, first the walls are built, the people of God are protected, and then Ezra builds the temple. First is the wall that you know we're doing God's will. Then the temple of God, which is you will see the picture, building the temple of God in the next message. But Nehemiah was a simple fella, a smart cookie. He was the FBI of King Artaxerxes. He was faithful. He was truthful. He stood in the truth. He accomplished the work. So Jesus came. He was faithful. He was despised. People laughed on him. But at the last moment, he said, it is finished. May God said, you know who said that? Also Paul, remember? My work is done, said Paul. I'm ready to be slain in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so may God give us a strength in our life to be sure that we put the walls of the church protected. The walls of the church protected. And I can say with all my heart, After 20 years, I feel this church protected as never before. As never before. I see people coming in and go, but I'm so relaxed that there will be no infiltration in our church and no spies will come in, because we have been on the battlefield long enough. And I have the blessing of God to say the board of directors will not be elected, will be the same, so that we know our weakness and our strength together. And as we glue together, we have only one purpose in this church, to glorify the name of Jesus and to lift him up. And you know, with that thing, we can smell when somebody come with some other idea. And the wall of the church need to be protected. And God gave shepherds and deacons to do that. Without a shepherd and without deacons, you cannot protect the wall of the church. So Satan is smart. Satan is saying to some people, you don't need a shepherd, you don't need a deacon, so the walls of the church are destroyed. I understand it today better than ever. The work of Satan is the work of an angel of light. Thank God that God led me in the church with a full assurance, even though we're imperfect, even though we have not achieved the glory of God in fullness, we are on the way. We are on the way. We are on the way. We have families who love the Lord. And we have families who are protected within themselves, that when they come to the church, they protect the entire church. As you protect yourself from Satan, when you are in the seat, you are protecting the whole church. That's the protection that we have. And we have pastors and deacons to protect the work of God. Need to be protected. Nehemiah did it, and what's accomplished? God did it in Jesus Christ, and what's accomplished? And he tells us, go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things, and I will be with you until the end. Not of the church, but the end of the world. Praise God for the promise of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are our protector. And thank you, Father, that we are building the ministry, not ourselves, but you are building the ministry. Thank you, Lord, that you command us to protect the wall of the church so that the temple be safe. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. Enjoy pizza or something.